Welcome to Breakthrough Success. I'm your host, Mark Caberti, founder of the Content Marketing Plaza, bringing you 3 new episodes each week where I and top-level guests teach you how to take your business to the next level and achieve your breakthrough. And before we jump into today's episode, let me ask you a quick question. How much would your life change if you could make 6 figures from your content? Imagine being able to quit your 9-to-5 job, do what you love for a living, and spend more time with your family. That's what we help our students do at the Content Marketing Plaza, an 8-week program that will help you build your way to 6 figures via your content. You can learn more about the Plaza by heading over to contentmarketingplaza.com, which will be in the show notes. All right, let's jump right back into the episode. What are the things that we have to do to grow our businesses online is to serve our audience. And when it comes to serving our audience, there are so many different ways that we can do, but the key is to create a positive user experience. And in doing so, also boosting our SEO, because we care about the SEO, but we also care about that experience. So how do we get the best of both worlds, where we have the SEO going good for us, but we also have a very good user experience, and it's obvious that we're not just creating content for a search engine, we're creating content for people. So we'll explore that in today's episode. So today's guest is the SEO instructor at DIYSEOcourses.com with over 20 years of experience in sales, marketing, and SEO. She teaches her students how to succeed with internet marketing by working hard, being smart, and always staying focused on the visitor and solving their problems by creating a positive user experience. Today's guest for episode 287 of the Breakthrough Success Podcast is none other than Rebecca Gill. Rebecca, it is such a pleasure to have you on the show.
Thank you. Thanks so much for having me.
Rebecca, it is a great pleasure to have you on the Breakthrough Success Podcast. I'm really looking forward to this because SEO is just this really important topic. We want to make sure we're able to leverage it while also being able to create that great experience, getting that good dynamic in there. So before we go a little deep into that, I wonder if you could start by sharing a little bit a background for why you decided to start creating these DIY SEO courses.
Well, I had been doing SEO for 15 years now. Back then, it was probably 13 years. And, you know, just doing some online training with people and doing a lot of events and things like that. And one of my friends in the WordPress community owns a product company, and he had said, you know, you really should think about creating some courses because people need to know what you know, and a course would be a great venue to be able to disseminate that information. And I kind of dismissed him at the beginning, but then I thought about it, and I realized he was right. And so I did move forward with it, and I created the courses, the main one, which is 8 hours long, and then some supplemental ones as well. And, you know, the reaction from at least the WordPress community originally was really, really good. And then, they've been getting used by people outside the WordPress community as well, you know, just general marketers and small business owners and things like that. So definitely I'm very glad that I did do it because it has had an opportunity to help a lot of people and kind of give them a roadmap for SEO that they were struggling to find elsewhere.
And I mean, you mentioned that roadmap for SEO, which is something that a lot of people have a really big difficulty with. I feel like people really think it's very complex. There's so many moving parts. What advice can you give just really quickly to kind of simplify that for someone who is a little overwhelmed by the SEO process?
So it does have a lot of moving parts and it is constantly changing. But I will tell you that SEO is a process. And at the very heart of the process is really focusing on who you're trying to serve with these search terms. You know, who is it ultimately that you want to reach? What are their problems? What do they struggle with? And then you make sure that your SEO campaign and your SEO activity are in tangent with that, right? So that they're aligned with that actual person and what they need. And when you start to think about SEO and that form, it doesn't seem to be so overwhelming. And then when you bring in Google into the mix and you think about, okay, what does Google really need to be successful? Google needs revenue. Revenue comes from the ads that they have. How does Google get people to come and click on their ads? Well, they create a really good experience for people who use organic search. And that's simply by finding the best content to answer someone's question that they put into that little search box. And that's Google's goal. And, you know, SEO is about helping Google figure out what is the best content and, you know, having a path to that content so it knows exactly what content to use for a given query. And that is the heart of SEO. You know, it's just, it's creating a roadmap for search engines. It's having a plan yourself, and it's always staying focused on that end user.
And I mean, you mentioned something really important where, I mean, Google wants people to view the best stuff, and SEO is that way to tell Google, hey, this content is really awesome. So, I mean, it really comes back to creating valuable content and being able to put that up on Google. And I feel like where most people run astray is that they hear about these things like internal links, external links, optimizing for the keyword, and those are all great things to do. But then you create an SEO optimized blog post that isn't necessarily a pleasurable one to read for the visitors. So how can we get the SEO benefits while producing a piece of content, blog post, podcast, or otherwise that also provides a great user experience?
SEO is a balance with usability. And, you know, it's, and I always say that. So when SEO has to trump usability, there's a problem. It should never trump usability. First and foremost, that content has to be of value. It needs to be readable. It needs to be scannable. It needs to be very welcoming to the human and, you know, quite frankly, just usable. And that has to be the focus. And things like internal links and backlinks and, you know, that is all important, and the code base, yes, but if the content isn't of quality, if the content isn't digestible by the human, you won't rank anyways because the content will be failing, and then that's not going to, you know, create that positive user experience, and Google won't like it in the end. So it is definitely a balance between multiple pieces of, you know, bits within the process, but the heart of it is that content, and again, making sure that that content is providing quality information and solving someone's problem or answering a question for them.
And you mentioned that really important idea where we are solving people's problems, we are answering the question that people have, and I feel like a lot of people have a general idea of what kinds of problems that we need to be solving, but how can we get more specific with the problems that people have? Like, if you target a community of bloggers, there's so many different problems that bloggers have. There's so many different questions we have, but how can we really get clear on the kinds of questions that our audience is asking us?
There are so many different places, and it really will vary by the industry or the niche. But like in your example, so blogging, right? Getting started with blogging, making money online. There are tools that you can use to find great keyword options. KW Finder is a wonderful tool. Ask the Public or Answer the Public, one of the two. I can't remember exactly which one it's called. That is a great tool, which is kind of brainstorms ideas for you on questions and things like that. Just going into Google and typing a base phrase into the search box and watching what Google presents back with the autocomplete or the knowledge graph with those Q&As and those answers that pops up at the top now or at the bottom with related searches, all of those are good suggestions for like search phrases and can definitely be used to kind of help brainstorm what some of those questions are. Another great way is to just ask people, right? Get into a community of actual bloggers. Get into a Facebook group. Ask what they're struggling with. Get those ideas and then craft that into good content that would help solve, you know, or answer the question related to that phrase.
And I really like that. I mean, there's so many different ideas. The key is to be where your audience is, like that community. As you mentioned, asking people what they're struggling with is something that is really important to do if you're going to figure out more about your audience. And let's say you have this information. What exactly would you do with it? Like, I know you create content about this information, about what people are struggling with. Is there anything deeper to that than just simply creating blog posts, videos, or podcasts about these issues? Or is it just as simple as that?
Never just as simple as that. But the biggest thing is to make sure that, you know, when you're trying to target some content in SEO, is that you have a keyword plan for it. You can both a main, you know, keyword phrase and then some secondary keyword phrases for that content. and that becomes kind of, you know, your own roadmap, so that you know your keywords lie in that URL specifically, and you don't try to compete with yourself. So for example, if making money online was my phrase, I wouldn't want to target that on 10 different places within my website or my blog, because then it becomes confusing on which piece of content owns that phrase. I would want to make sure it was very clear to the search engines on, you know, the proper URL for that. And that's what on-page optimization is all about, is just really helping the search engines with those signals to make sure that they know that's where that content is at. And that's the heart of it, right? And then we do a bunch of other things like internal linking and, you know, semantic HTML5 headers and things like that to make sure that we even make it easier for the search engines to understand where that phrase lives. But that is where a lot of people get tripped up, is they don't have that keyword to URL sitemap plan, and they end up competing with themselves, especially in the blogging area, where they might target the same keyword phrase with 10 different blog posts and then tags and then categories and maybe even their homepage of their blog, which does become really super confusing to the search engines.
And I mean, we've taken a strong focus on blogging from the SEO perspective. I mean, there's a lot of blog posts about this topic. Like, you hear that, like, you need 2,000 words to be a top ranked blog post. At least most of them tend to be in that bracket. But what about videos and podcasts and like other content where it's not like you write a blog post, you put all these keywords in it? Like, for video and podcasts, like what comes to me right away is the title. The title is really important. You can put your keywords in there. But what are some of the other ways that we can SEO optimize our podcasts and videos?
Well, so for podcasts, there is podcast structure data, which structured data is a language that would go behind the actual content, so within the code. And it's basically language that the search engines understand so that they can digest a page like a human. And it will tell them that this is a podcast. And then they can use that with what they see on the actual live page to figure out the content of that podcast. So that would be the best thing that you could do for optimizing a podcast. Now, with video, it would depend on where you want to place it, whether it be, you know, on actually like the search engine results page or on YouTube. The easiest would be to go to YouTube, because that is a search engine and it has, I think, the second largest search activity next to Google itself, and it's a Google property. YouTube has a whole set of algorithms that are similar to regular SEO, but a little bit different. So, for example, it's really important to YouTube, you know, like the file name of the video before you upload it, the video title, the description. But then you start to get into other activity that will influence it, which is, how long do people normally watch that video? Is it just a minute, or do they watch it 80% of the video length? Do people stay on YouTube once they finish watching that video, or do they leave? You know, because the YouTube algorithm is positioned to encourage activity on YouTube and keep people watching videos. So they do tend to lean towards those videos that keep people on their site. So, you know, there's other nuances that go along with it. There's keywords for videos, even though you don't actually see the keywords on the videos. When you upload your video, they are there and they're part of the video. So that's also things that you would want to optimize. So again, lots of moving parts. And each one you're gonna kind of target a little bit differently. As is like stores. If you had an online store, you would want to do things in the online store a little bit in addition to regular optimization. Online stores also have structured data that will help the search engines understand it's a product and it's a product for sale, maybe availability, the pricing, reviews, and things like that.
And I mean, so many different moving parts. And with the video, like you mentioned, YouTube, since Google, I mean, owns YouTube, it's definitely a lot more things that they can do, but definitely a lot more things that you also have to keep being aware of, because all these different moving parts. So we're actually going to talk about, how do we find the time to do all this? What's the best approach? So we'll be talking about that after this. So we'll be right back. One of the gifts of hosting the Breakthrough Success Podcast and creating the content that I do is the ability to impact people as an influencer. I recognized over time that there are a lot of you who with powerful messages that you want to share with the world. And if you are someone who wants to become an influencer to spread your powerful message and impact others through your content, I recommend you join us at the Advanced Influencer Mastermind, where I'll provide weekly training and you'll be part of a supportive community. For being a Breakthrough Success listener, we'll give you the first 30 days free of charge. Just head over to contentmarketingplaza.com/breakthrough to learn more about the mastermind and claim your free 30 days. And now let's jump right back into the episode. Okay, and we are back talking about SEO, talking about how exactly do we talked about how to optimize our content, but from a time perspective, I mean, there's just so many different moving parts. One of the constant themes of this episode, all these different moving parts. So SEO is just a way to generate traffic. There's other things you have to do, like course creation. I know you mentioned that 8-hour course you created earlier. So I'm wondering, how do you find the time to work on your SEO while addressing the other parts of your business as well?
I think it's just something, you know, if you're going to do your own SEO and you've got a business, it's just something that you have to make time for. And it's not just time on learning SEO. It's also the time of staying up to date on SEO. The core of the time you're spending learning SEO is developing that process. You know, really, what do you need to go through to really have the right research and strategy and planning and execution so everything kind of flows together? And that's, you know, the heart of that is finding a solid resource that you can learn from. The wonderful thing about the internet today is there are lots and lots of resources available for learning SEO. Google has its own documentation to help you get started. It's not going to cover everything, but it will definitely tell you the most important areas that you need to pay attention to. There's, you know, free courses, paid courses, ebooks, white papers, you know, podcasts and videos, you know, there's just so many different ways, Facebook groups. And it's just a matter of starting to dig in. And I would tell your listeners that one thing to be cautious of is watch the dates on what's been published, because you can get yourself in trouble by finding a great blog post or an article and reading through with SEO and not realizing it's 6 years ago when it was published. Mm-hmm. Lots have changed in 6 years. And if you follow everything to the T of what that article said from 6 years ago, it may get you in trouble in today's environment. So, you know, make sure that the resources that you are using are up to date and they're credible. And I think that that's half the battle. Because after that, you know, it's just a matter of applying what you're learning and making sure that you're consistent with your, you know, the time that you're spending.
And it's interesting you mentioned with the SEO, like a lot of people talk about creating evergreen content, like an episode or a blog post where it's going to benefit people for years to come. But I mean, an SEO article written 6 years ago, again, can really get you into big trouble, because there was that philosophy a while back where you just bought a bunch of backlinks and you were set. And now if you do that today, Google's going to come at you hard, and it's going to be a lot more difficult to rank if you have bought all these spammy backlinks. So definitely interesting to know from the SEO standpoint. You look at an article that's been written 6 years ago, even like 2 or 3 years ago, depending on the topic, it could be a very different world of SEO.
Well, and think about these metrics. So in 2017, Google modified the search algorithm 6 times per day.
Wow.
That's how many times they modified it. That's not even the experiments that they did, because they did, you know, just so many more experiments. But that's how much, you know, Google's tweaking it. And we've seen things really shift in 2018 in the way search engines work, particularly Google. The way the search results page of Google, it's completely different than what it was a couple of years ago. There's so much real estate taken up with the knowledge graph. Structured data is dominating page one. You know, it's a really different world, and you do need to stay up to date on that information. Now, you don't need to, you know every algorithm them change, but you do need to know trends and, you know, and things that are shifting, because that's the way that you will stay educated yourself, as well as stay ahead of your competition.
Now, you mentioned trends, and obviously these can change over time, but As of this episode recording, we're heading towards the end of 2018 as we're doing this. What are some of the trends that you see as being really important for SEO in the future?
Structured data and schema is definitely one of them, because it is, you know, becoming more and more prevalent. Understanding what the knowledge graph is and what search results are being consumed by it. And the reason that is Google puts more and more of its own information on the search engine results page, there's less and less click-through rates. And by that, I mean people come into the search engine, they search for something on Google, but they never actually click through to a website because they find the answer right on that page and then they leave. And that's becoming like, I think, 30-40% of the time, if not more, I think, on mobile. And so, you know, you have to be aware of those things and plan for that. You know, so if you're doing keyword research and you see that the keywords that you're looking at are having the knowledge graph and all, you know, dominating, then pick something different, right? Go after some variations. The average search phrase is 4 words or more now. You know, so that's definitely a shift that we didn't have in the past. And, you know, people are searching with longer phrases and they're searching with more complex questions because they know Google has that artificial intelligence and it will be able to return very good results that are tied well to that search string. So, you know, those are some major things that we see continue to evolve, you know, through the year. And, you know, definitely things like accessibility and performance and security with those SSL statement certificates, those are all important. If you're a listener and you don't have an SSL certificate for your website, you need one, because page one of Google is dominated with secure websites, and Google's throwing warnings in Chrome as the, you know, the browser, for anything that's not SSL certified. So, you know, just some things that have definitely come to fruition this year, and they've tweaked the search landscape, and marketers and, you know, DIY website owners need to be aware of them.
Interesting. You mentioned a lot of different things, that SSL certificate being something that's increasing in importance. Also the mobile. I feel like a lot of people have heard about mobile SEO coming into more popularity, but I don't feel like everyone's necessarily prepared. I feel like some people, they just set up their website and they hope it converts on mobile. So I'm wondering if you could share with us some of the differences between mobile SEO and like SEO for like a desktop, and how we can be ready for even more mobile growth.
So here are two data points to know. First one is that over 50% of the searches now happen on mobile. They don't happen on desktop. And Google is reviewing and indexing content based on the mobile version of your website and not the desktop version. That happened this year. So if your website has a poor user experience with mobile, it does matter to the search engines, particularly Google. And if you're using a Google Search Console account, you will be getting notifications from Google on where you lack in mobile. And that's because it is so important to the, you know, to the search engine. So you do need to make sure that your website is fully mobile responsive. It does have good speed on mobile devices. It's easy to read. Your font sizes are a specific, you know, minimum font size so people can easily read it. And Google gives all of this information in their help guides. So, you know, definitely things to think about. And if you've not looked at your website on mobile, you definitely want to. And don't just go to the homepage. Browse through some internal URLs to see what's happening. And, you know, can you read it? Do you have pop-ups that are blocking your content and it's difficult to, you know, get rid of them? All of those things can be problematic for your human visitors, which will be problematic for your ranking in search.
And it's interesting you mentioned things like pop-ups, where they are proven to grow your email list. It's one of those proven tactics. And it looks good on the desktop. It pops up. It takes a fair amount of space, but not too much. But on the phone, it could take up the entire screen. So that is definitely something to watch out for, as Rebecca points out. And I mean, SEO, again, the theme, there are a lot of different moving parts. But there are people who obviously master SEO. There are people who are getting a lot of traffic because they have mastered all those moving parts. So with that in mind, Rebecca, I'm wondering if you could share with us what you believe holds most people back from really being able to dominate their SEO.
Two things. One is time, right? Because a lot of people who want to learn SEO have other things going on, like a full-time job or a business to run. And then the other thing is follow through. They don't follow through with a full process. They start the process. They maybe jump around in the process. You know, they don't finish things. If they launch, you know, if they do a lot of it, maybe they hasten their time frame for publishing that content, and then don't come back to reverse engineer it to see what worked and what didn't work. You know, what things did you do right, and then try to repeat those. And so those are the biggest things: is time and follow through. And because I'm a firm believer that if someone has enough desire, they can learn SEO. They just need to allocate time to it. They need to have a good process, and they need to have the follow through to make sure that they are doing it from start to finish so that they can see what's working and what's not. I've taught a lot of people over the years in a number of different manners, right? I mean, podcasts and courses and boot camps and masterminds. And the people that are successful are the ones that have the follow through. And they didn't think that they could do it at the beginning, and they realized at the end they could. They just needed to, you know, dig in, dig deep, right, and plow ahead.
And, I mean, a lot of this is just coming down to the individual. I mean, we are key determinants, the key factors of our own success. So it really comes down to how we think. It comes down to how we're using our time. A lot of great insights that Rebecca pointed out about SEO and any goal pursuing in general. Those are some of the things that really hold a lot of people back. Another big thing is just some of the challenges that come along the way. And we just got to be resilient. We got to be able to overpower those challenges. But Rebecca, I'm wondering if you could share with us one big challenge you faced on your journey to SEO mastery and a powerful lesson you learned during that challenge.
Oh, I have an excellent one for you. When I first started to learn SEO a long time ago, I was working for someone else. And I read some blog posts and I tried some things, and I walked into the office one day and my boss said, "Hey, have you found our website online lately? Because it doesn't appear to be in the Google index anymore." We were penalized so hard, Google took us completely out of the index. You couldn't even find our URL in it, nor any page. And it was because I had read a few things, and I wasn't really trying to do black hat SEO. I just didn't really know that they were, I didn't know they were wrong. And that was a very valuable lesson for me. I had to restart that website and restart that SEO. And I did get us back to where we were at before, but I had to do it with a whole brand new URL because we had damaged the one that we had. And so the lesson is stay white hat. Do what's right for the user. Do what's right for the search engines. Don't try to take shortcuts. If you ever question anything as to whether or not you should do it, you already know your answer. You shouldn't do it. So don't do it. And, you know, and that's been a principle that I've had ever since that happened. And that was probably 13, 14 years ago. But I'm glad that I had it early because it really kept me on the straight and narrow, and that's led to a lot of success in many ways. And, you know, listeners need to take that away as one of their mantras as well.
I really like that idea of just focusing on what is right for the user, because, I mean, if you don't do that, people may abandon you. You see it with different companies who aren't necessarily treating their users right. They get very public about that. So it's just better to do the right thing. And if you really have to question yourself on it, you know the answer right away. So, I mean, it's interesting how you mentioned that you had to change your URL. That's something that some people, it's something to think about in case something bad does happen, having that backup URL in place. So that's definitely one insight to take away. And one of the things that I also want to explore is that I feel like one of the things we should all be doing is self-education. So with that in mind, Rebecca, I'm wondering if you could share with us three books that you believe will have a positive impact on us, help us with our businesses, and maybe something on SEO too, although that's a little harder since SEO changes so much.
Yeah, SEO books, by the time they come out, they're really out of date, unless it's something in more generic terms. And I'm looking, In the Plex is a book that was written a while ago. And that's actually good because it wasn't, you know, about current practices. It was more the concept of SEO and what really matters to Google. So that is definitely one of my favorite books. Let's see, the 12-week work year or something similar to that.
Oh, that's a good one.
I love that book because it compresses stuff down and it makes it not so scary. I'm trying to think of what else is on my bookshelf as I turn around and I kind of look behind me.
There's so many different ones that you should probably.
Yeah, I do have a ton of books. You know, Content Rules is another one that's more about content marketing, and it's an older book, but it's still a really good book because it kind of helps to reinforce the importance of content marketing. Because, you know, I mean, SEO is great, but you have to have good content to actually optimize and promote and, you know, take forward to the search engine. So that would be another recommendation.
Rebecca, thank you for sharing with us those great book recommendations. Those will all be in the show notes, markbirdie.com/E287. We will also throw in Content Marketing Secrets in the show notes. That is over at markgoodbirdie.com/CMS book for anyone who is interested. Audiobook is up as well. So that, again, will be in the show notes. But before we wrap up this episode, Rebecca, I've asked you several questions throughout our time together, but what do you believe is one question that we need to be asking ourselves more often?
What is my purpose? There's two. What is my purpose and who do I help?
Rebecca, thank you for sharing with us those really great questions, getting to the core of what we are supposed to be doing, who we are supposed to be serving, things we should definitely be thinking about as we continue to create content and serve. So just thank you so much for those insights and all of the great wisdom you shared throughout our time together. For people who are wondering, where exactly do I find Rebecca? How can I learn more about SEO? You can head over to DIYSEOcourses.com, which will be in the show notes. But Rebecca, is there any other places where you want us to find you?
You can go to RebeccaGill.com, which will link you over to my YouTube channel, my presentation slides, and a whole different set of other places. There's a Facebook group that I have for SEO that you're welcome to join, where I publish information and answer questions personally, along with a bunch of other SEO people. So all good places to get additional information on SEO.
Rebecca, thank you so much for coming on the show. It was such a pleasure to have you on Breakthrough Success and talk about SEO today.
My pleasure. Thanks so much for having me.
Want to dominate the podcasting industry? Now you can with your free copy of my book, Podcast Domination. You'll learn how to launch, grow, and monetize your very own show. And whether you are a beginner or an expert, this book has a lot of golden nuggets for you. We'll cover the cost of producing this book. All we ask is that you cover the shipping. To get your copy, head over to markgoodbirdie.com/PD.